This is Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans, getting you ready for game day.
We are the Sultans. We are the Sultans.
Now, here are Mike Scheck and Trip Rodgers.
You can set your clocks to it. It is Sunday. It is football. Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans. Mike Scheck, Trip Rodgers. And we hope you enjoyed the extra hour of rest on this weekend as we dive into week number 9. Two of the three locals playing today. We have the New York Giants hosting the Hail Mary Washington Commanders, or should say Fail Mary if you're on the rooting side of Chicago. An NFC East division matchup coming up at 1 p.m. while Philadelphia, they keep piling up the W's. They'll host Jacksonville at 4:05. But we start with the New York Jets. And one would say they hit rock bottom last week after losing to the 1-6 New England Patriots. 4 days later, though, on Halloween, they'd have to get their acts together and play the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football, a game that kicked off the week. And yeah, could we call it a Halloween game? I mean, there were some crazy things that happened here. Thought that they were going to be starting on the right foot. It was the rookie, Corley, dropping the ball before he gets to the end zone, a turnover. Houston gets it, and then they go up 7-0 on a 98-yard drive. Aaron Rodgers, 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Wilson, 1 to Adams. Jets defense also coming up big, sacking C.J. Stroud 7 times. Jets winning this one.
21-13.
In a game where, Tripp, you and I talked earlier in the week after the Jets played New England, and we were like, nah, no way are they going to win. No way. But here we go. The Jets turn things around against a Houston team that's obviously struggling with injuries.
The thing about this game is, on paper, you had the Jets 2-6. You had Houston 6-2. So yeah, You'd think Houston's got to be favoring this game. Well, the line before the game was the Jets -2. Number one, a lot of money went on the Jets. But number two, I don't know if people are buying Houston with the injuries they've had. Remember, Stephon Diggs is now out for the year, and Nico Collins is out. He could come back, but this Houston offense struggles. Tank Dell had a nice night. You know, Joe Mixon had a nice night too. Fairburn missing 2 field goals. That was a difference in this game. You talk about the NYJ, as Al Michaels referred them to them on Thursday night. As a Jet fan, you have to expect the unexpected. Where do the Jets go from here? Last Monday, let's go with that point. You're right, they hit rock bottom. They lost to a New England team that's god-awful. The Jets have been able to pick themselves up. Devontae Adams trade, paying dividends. You saw that on Thursday night. Now the Jets get themselves a little break, having played the Thursday night game. They will take on Arizona. Then they've got the Colts. Then they've got their bye. This could be a nice stretch for the Jets. Arizona's a winnable game. Indianapolis is definitely a winnable game. And then after the bye, they play Seattle. I think that's a winnable game because Seattle has fallen on hard times. In fact, it's funny because people are calling for the head of Mike McDonald, and he's only, 6-7 games into his tenure as coach? I mean, come on, man. His name is not Nathaniel Hackett. The New York Jets, good win. In the first half, Aaron Rodgers, 37 yards on offense. That was his lowest output in his career. And you were thinking, oh boy, here comes a big stinko for the Jets. But they can feel good about themselves for a while. The kicking game has been sorted out. Oh yeah, Greg Zuerlein goes out on IR. That takes care of the kicking problem. Like I said, we'll see about the Jets. They got a win for their interim coach. Maybe that's what they wanted to do.
I can't say that they're a really good football team right now because they're 3-6. So last week they lost to New England with a backup quarterback. You know, we can sit here and say, hey, these are winnable games, but are they really winnable games considering what they did last week in New England? So we got to question that. First of all, they are truly having an identity crisis because
I just
don't think they know who they are. And the interim head coach, he is what he is. He's an interim head coach. He's not going to be the head coach next season. Unless the Jets miraculously get into the playoffs, I still say he is what he is.
They leave your head scratching. And again, Aaron Rodgers, a lot has been said about him. And he is a very polarizing figure. And you kind of wonder, do we see the last Sunday Aaron more times this year? Or do we see the Thursday night Aaron? who in the second half was better. Devontae Adams is going to play a role on this. Also, we didn't mention this. Alan Lazard goes on IR and been bothered by a shoulder injury. But I think that takes some of the pressure off Garrett Wilson, because Wilson obviously is going to be the other guy. I thought Breece Hall, I thought Garrett Wilson, who have been fantasy disasters this year, played better on Thursday night.
It is Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans right here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore, and FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com. Coming up Monday, we've got your chance at winning $18,000 that could be used for your rent or mortgage for the holiday season and into 2025. It is our home for the holiday sweepstakes. You can enter at FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com and, of course, on our app as we shift our way to another New York team that they're producing similar results. That is the New York Giants. Only the Giants are hoping they also can go 3-6 this weekend when they play Washington. Brian Daboll calling out his quarterback this past week, actually throwing him under the bus, saying he did not play well. Obviously, we know Daniel Jones is not playing well, but he called him out in a press conference. Clearly, Daniel Jones could have called out Brian Daboll for some of his questionable play calling in that game last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, including the 2-point conversion, which was a big fail. You know, you could see on the face of Daniel Jones, he is clearly frustrated. He is not playing well. And I know you say it's the same old story with the Giants, and it truly is. But at the same time, when you've got a coach calling out your quarterback, that's not good either.
Yeah, well, once again, circling the drain, as the old saying goes. I mean, this Giants season is about to go down the tubes. I think the frustration for Daboll, and I think the frustration for Joe Shane, and I think the frustration for the Giants organization, is Daniel Jones has not developed as a quarterback. You thought he had taken a step forward 2 years ago, gave him the big contract. That was not to be. And last year was not what they wanted. And the problem also is Saquon Barkley issue, because he is now playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's not playing for the Giants. He was their top offensive performer. I think that is a huge issue. And I think there's frustration involved. The Giants are going to play the Commanders this afternoon. Listen, Washington comes off a stunning win last week. And Washington, oh, look, they're in first place in the division. And the Giants are in last place in the division. I think this is going to be another awful performance. And, oh, yeah, it's at MetLife. So, I'm sure Giant fans are going to be flocking the exits early third quarter, because I don't see them being in this game.
Yes, Daniel Jones and Deonte Banks will start against Washington. They benched Banks last week against Pittsburgh. Third time this season, his play has come under fire here. Gave up a tackle against Jalen Hurts and gave up on chasing CeeDee Lamb on a touchdown reception earlier this season. Why was he benched last week? Well, he was hurdled by Steelers running back Najee Harris, missed the tackle on wide receiver George Pickens. Really just hasn't turned into the player that the Giants thought he would. Yeah, what about a team that might be righting themselves, so to speak? That is the Philadelphia Eagles. Most complete game on offense, maybe, that we saw all season from the Eagles. Yeah, they played a quality team last week. Now, I wouldn't say Cincinnati is a top-tier team, but they are credible. Jalen Hurts, he threw the ball for 236 yards and a touchdown. It was a nice win for Philly.
And the other part of this game was the fact that you had two teams that basically coming in with the same problems, and you wanted to see which team was going to right themselves. It was a close game throughout. But then the Eagles were able to put a couple scores on the scoreboard at the end of the game, and they come out on top. Again, I'm not ready to anoint the Eagles, because the Washington Commanders have been the surprise this year, but the Eagles are playing better. I'm still not sold on Nick Sirianni as the coach, and I think that's going to hold the Eagles back at some point over the course. I mean, listen, we're into the month of November. This is when championships are won and championships are lost.
This Tuesday is going to be a big day for the United States, as it's election day, but it's also the NFL trade deadline. We've been active with trades already throughout the National Football League, especially on the wide receiver front. The Eagles, though, I mean, they've been very active in trades in recent years. You have to go back to 2017, range from Jay Ajayi and Golden Tate to Robert Quinn, Tay Cowan. Now, I'm not really so sure that the Eagles will go in on a trade this year, but you never know. There are a lot of names out there that could be floating around. The Eagles could be looking for a tight end backup. Of course, Dallas Goedert getting up in age, so we'll see what happens there. Maybe they want a running back handcuff to Saquon Barkley. Maybe that would help. Of course, the Eagles did that with Jay Ajayi back in 2017, who kind of helped them go to the Super Bowl. Wasn't a huge factor, and none of the trades that the Eagles have made since 2017 really significantly worked out. Jay Ajayi kind of did because they won the Super Bowl, but he didn't have an outstanding performance. I just take a look at these big names here that could be moved before the trade deadline, and that's Cleveland's Za'Darius Smith, the Jets' Mike Williams, Carolina's Adam Thielen, Miles Sanders, and Jadeveon Clowney. You've got Tennessee's Treylon Burks, New England's K.J. Osborne, Jacksonville's Evan Engram, Los Angeles Rams' Brandon Scherff, and Tre'Davious White. A lot of big names still out there. Maybe the Eagles go for somebody. I don't think the Jets or Giants make a move right now. If anything, the Giants might be unloading people and not wanting to pick up anybody.
Yeah, and it was funny because I read something online. You know, they unload Darius Slayton for a draft pick. Again, that kind of makes sense. But yet, you don't want to kill yourself because Neighbors has been injured, had a concussion, out a couple of weeks, and you don't want to really just cripple yourself by making a trade and then having Neighbors get injured again. It'll be interesting to see if the Eagles do make a move because, let's face it, they are closest of the three to making the playoffs and making a run. Listen, there's always a couple pieces you could always use, and for the right price, they would make a move, and it could be the move that puts them into the Super Bowl. Because you want to get there. This Eagle team has high expectations.
Jets Super Bowl, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm ruining that pick. Thank you for reminding me there, Hall of Famer. Well, the other one was the Eagles, so there you go. I guess I'm still alive with that one. I'm not a
total
idiot.
Well, we know what we're talking about in the fantasy segment, and we'll do that coming up.
There he goes again. Mixon throws his shoulder, and he's in for the touchdown.
Stafford fires, caught. Touchdown. Cooper Kupp.
Toss play. Montgomery wants to throw. There's the touchdown.
Take my heart, don't break it.
Winston going for it all for the end zone for Tillman. He's got it.
May climbs the pocket. Gonna run again. May in. Touchdown.
Hurts sets, throws, looking for the home run ball. End zone. Devontae Smith.
Sideline throw and the catch is made. Wow. It's Ladd McConkey. And McConkey is in for a touchdown. Wow, what a play.
Cousins floats it. Pitts is wide open. Pitts is in for the touchdown.
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught. Caught. It's a miracle. It's Noah Brown.
You were right there all along.
Coming up, the Fantasy Sultans recap a dynamic day for the tight ends in Week 8, all the injuries affecting your lineup, and players you should keep an eye on. Plus, can the Eagles continue piling up the W's? We'll have our pick-ems. All that and more as Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans continues.
This explosive offense gets things going.
The offense you want in the two-minute drill. Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans. On Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore, and Fox Sports Radio New Jersey.com.
It was a coming out party for the tight ends on National Tight End Day. We welcome you back here to Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans as we talk a little fantasy. Yeah, I mentioned the tight ends. Travis Kelce's 10 receptions were the most at the position, while George Kittle's 128 receiving yards paced tight ends. There were 14 tight ends with at least 5 receptions, 15 with at least 50 receiving yards, and 15 with a touchdown. Kate Otten and Kyle Pitts each had 2 receiving touchdowns. So it was a good day for National Tight End Day in week number 8.
Yes, it was. But Mike, I want to ask you something, and we've talked about him a lot. Kyle Pitts, and I had this thought the other day. I compare him to another tight end who was very ballyhooed coming out of college. Everybody said this guy was going to change the game, much like his father did, Kellen Winslow Jr. And Kellen Winslow just never amounted to anything. Now, there were some off the field issues with Kellen Winslow. Kyle Pitts doesn't have those off the field issues, but is he going to show that promise that everybody talked about? Or is he going to be one of those guys who's just going to disappoint you and you don't really want to get him on your team?
That's the thing with Kyle Pitts. He's always a question mark. Last season was the misusage of him. At least some more promising signs, we should say, for Kyle Pitts with the Raheem Morris experience. Things that are not looking promising, the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, that was just... Anthony Richardson, I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, he took himself out of the game last week on one play. He was tired. He's a quarterback. He's taking himself out of the game. I mean, we see players who get banged up. They come out, they get winded. Things happen, but to physically take yourself out of the game, you are the leader of that team. Been inaccurate. He's been banged up. Not the experience that Indianapolis was looking for since he came into the league.
The move to Joe Flacco is kind of a stabilizing type of thing. Jonathan Taylor's been lights out this year. Michael Pittman has been good on the receiving end of things, especially when Flacco's been in there. I'll be curious to see how Indianapolis does. And let's not forget somebody who is available on waivers, Josh Downs. Everybody keeps talking about him. The problem is you're not getting the consistent quarterback play from Richardson. And I think that's one of the reasons why they have moved to Flacco. But again, Colts players on the offense, you're going to want to look at an uptick for them this weekend in their game.
We got to talk about some players before we get to our import exports that could be affecting your lineups this week. We're going to start with Christian Kirk. He is done for the season in Jacksonville, the wide receiver, out with a broken collarbone. Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, he suffered a groin injury. Houston's wide receiver, well, they played on Thursday night, but Stephon Diggs done for the year, torn ACL. San Francisco running back Jordan Mason and wide receiver Deebo Samuel both left the game with injuries. Now, they are on a bye this week, so hopefully they'll be healthy. And Christian McCaffrey will monitor the situation, but it's looking more and more like he will play in week number 10.
It'll be interesting to watch that San Francisco team, especially since with Ayuk out for the year, they've been banged up on offense. And Juwan Jennings sat out of last week's game, and we were touting him, saying, yeah, he's got a grab. Well, he's injured, so he may still be available in your leagues. But the 49ers are off this week, and the other team that is on a bye, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, you're going to need some replacements, and I do believe that's where we come in. Mm-hmm. Give me some import export.
It's time to import and export with the Fantasy Sultans.
He's an importer exporter, okay?
I'll start it off with Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matt Stafford. 279 passing yards, 4 scores last week. Yeah, 2 of his 3 matchups against Seattle and New England. Those defenses allowed them 13th and 12th most fantasy points via the passing game. Stafford is a nice streamer pickup. Another player you want to start, Tony Pollard of Tennessee. Yeah, the Titans stink this year, but New England isn't much better. They only have one more win. The Patriots are giving up 23 points per game to opposing running backs. And given the lack of offensive attack, there's a chance the Titans could be playing ahead in the second half, if not the whole game, which has been few and far between. Pollard could get it going this week. Finally, tight end T.J. Hockenson in Minnesota. He's back. Yes, the former tight end, 10 overall pick, returning to the lineup after an ACL recovery. 25% target share through the first 15 weeks. Now, keep in mind, that was with Justin Jefferson out of the lineup. He is healthy, but I still expect Hockenson to get the bulk of the looks that other tight ends aren't getting. Minnesota faces Indianapolis, and the Colts are giving up at least 13 PPR points to opposing tight ends in 5 of their last 6 games. Let's go over to the exports. Tucker Kraft of Green Bay is my only export this week. He had a productive week last week against the Jaguars. 3 receptions, 78 yards, and a touchdown. This week, though, could be tough. The Lions defense has not allowed more than 60 yards to opposing tight ends all year. They've only surrendered 1 score to tight ends, and Kraft is pretty dependent on touchdowns. So I say something's got to give here, but points won't come at a premium. I would say sit him.
I'm going to give you all imports this week. First of all, in the running back ranks, Jaleel McLaughlin for Denver. And I say this because McLaughlin is getting a lot of touches And this Denver offense has been surprising this year. Javonte Williams is the guy there, but he's struggled, and they're not afraid to mix him in there. So if he's available in your league, I would grab him. I'm going to give you a couple wide receivers. First off, Keon Coleman of Buffalo. We've mentioned him a couple of times. Keon Coleman, with the Amari Cooper injury, Keon Coleman is going to probably get a lot of looks from Josh Allen, and he's a guy that will get some receptions. And then let's go to Tampa Bay. Again, the Tampa Bay receiving core decimated. Mike Evans still nursing a hamstring, not going to be back till week 11. They need to throw to somebody. And of course, Chris Godwin's out for the year. Jalen McMillan, he is available. A lot of people can grab him. You can get some use out of him, at least for the next couple of weeks. Not sure what's going to happen when Mike Evans comes back, but he is a guy I would pick up. And those are import-exports for the Fantasy Sultans.
It is Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans, Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, Fox Sports Radio, Jersey Shore, and FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com. As we move over to our twofers.
The Fantasy Sultans, Sunday twofers.
New York Giants wide receiver Darius Slayton. He's one of them for me. You know, it's been rather difficult this season for Slayton to maintain fantasy value while Malik Nabers is healthy. But you know what? Slayton seems to be holding his own. 108 on 7 targets against Pittsburgh last week. Encouraging sign for him to be producing at this level. The real value, though, comes at the handcuff status. Malik Nabers, if he gets injured, well, that's where Slayton comes in. And you know what? We don't give enough love to the kickers on this show, so two kickers will be in the spotlight. And no, one of them is not Greg Zuerlein of the New York Jets. It is Austin Seibert in Washington and Jake Bates in Detroit. Seibert continues to be a scoring machine for the Commanders, hitting 23 of 25 field goals, 19 of 19 on extra points. Thanks to a rejuvenated offense in Washington, Seibert is getting plenty of kicks. Meanwhile, Jake Bates, he's been a unique kicker. He's only kicked 11 field goals in 7 games, but his fantasy floor is built on extra points. Detroit put up 52 points last week. That's 7 extra points. And I know Halloween was this past Thursday, but the Bates Motel really getting it done for Detroit.
All right, two I'm going to watch this week. First off, Famous Jameis in Cleveland. Was last week a one-hit wonder, or is Jameis Winston ready to step in and be a consistent fantasy quarterback and a fantasy starter? That's the question. We're going to answer that today. We're going to see how he does. There's no reason why he can't, but again, he's let us down in the past. And the other guy I want to watch today, I'm very curious to see how he does. You know, you mentioned Matt Stafford, and I think Stafford is a unique case here. I want to watch Cooper Kupp, and I say this because I'm a Kupp owner in one of my fantasy leagues. I want to believe in him, but kind of wondering if the injury is going to happen. Cooper Kupp is somebody I want to watch today because I want to see him do it 2 weeks in a row.
No. You can't go empty here. Always the cup is half full.
Listen, you're talking about the guy who named his team Kupp of Moss. Come on. Give me a break here. Give me a break.
The Fantasy Sultans. Pick 'em.
Let's go. I know you wait breathlessly for them every week because we are such good football prognosticators. Our lines come from FoxSports.com. Giants are a 3.5-point underdog to the Washington Commanders. Hall of Famer, I'll let you go first.
The Washington Commanders making big strides on defense. I really think they come up with a few turnovers from Daniel Jones in the offense. I'll take Washington giving the points.
I'm going to take Washington giving the points, too. I have no faith in the New York Giants. This team is in a spiral. They just barely lost that second game of the season to Washington, even though they scored touchdowns. Now they're not scoring touchdowns. I don't see how the Giants win. Next up, the Eagles, who are a 7.5-point choice over Jacksonville. Let's face it, the Eagles are a good machine. I didn't say well-oiled, good machine. This is a game they can feast on, or they can get lots of treats on, using the Halloween theme we just passed. I can see the Eagles covering the 7.5-point spread rather easily. Jacksonville's looked abysmal.
They have looked abysmal. Big game for Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. I'm going with Philly.
We move on to another game. Fox will have this on most national broadcasts this afternoon. Detroit is a 3.5-point choice over Green Bay. That's a battle in the NFC North. Detroit looking really good this season so far. They've had a couple of stumbles, but I think Detroit can cover 3.5 points. Green Bay, again, Jordan Love makes this offense go. I'm not sure Malik Willis can do the same. Detroit's defense is very ferocious, even without Aiden Hutchinson. I think Detroit covers here.
You know, Detroit has been very good on offense with Jared Goff, but that two-headed monster, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, they've been really getting it going for Detroit. I'll go for Detroit.
Sunday night game is the Colts, who are a 5.5-point underdog to the Vikings. Let's face it, they're making a quarterback change. Joe Flacco comes in. The Vikings looking good. Sam Darnold, it gets TJ Hockenson back. I think that's big. In my mind, I think the Vikings cover this spread.
Well, they've struggled the past few weeks, and Joe Flacco starting for the Colts, I think is the right move in the short term. He and Jonathan Taylor will keep them in the game. That Minnesota does not cover the spread. I'll pick Minnesota, but Indianapolis with the spread.
And Monday night, it'll be Tampa Bay, who is an 8.5-point underdog to the only unbeaten team in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
The thing about this game, the Chiefs, I don't feel, are a touchdown favorite better than anybody, unless it's the New York Jets or the New York Giants or the Carolina Panthers. I think this spread's a little high. I'm not sold on it. I think the Chiefs win, but they do not cover. I think the Chiefs win this game.
The spread is high because Tampa Bay's defense has had major issues lately. Finally, the Chiefs offense getting it going. I think it spells trouble for Tampa. I'm going to go 2 touchdowns that the Chiefs win.
Okay. Listen, that's why you're the Hall of Famer, and I'm not.
Well, who knows on this show? Let's flip a coin and see. Let's see what it comes up with. Hey, listen, the Fantasy Sultans, as we get ready for game day here, we don't quit here on this show. We don't take ourselves out of the game. We are here with you each and every Sunday. We give you the information. We prep you for the game, and we want you to be successful. We bring it to you each and every week because we are the Fantasy Sultans.
And you are not, and we don't tap out.
Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans has been a presentation of Fox Sports Radio New Jersey and Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore. Want even more fantasy?
His whole life is a fantasy game.
Follow the Fantasy Sultans on YouTube at Fantasy Sultans and tune in next week at this same time for more Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans.